This episode of Nintendo Dads is brought to you by our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help us make even more awesome Nintendo family-related content just for you. So go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and join the family today. Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode number 64. Justin? Justin, where are you? Cue the music. Oh my gosh, I can't even play my own bumper with that. Oh,
wow.
Oh, just play it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is February 10th, 2016. Justin is not here tonight, and so joining me, it's a two-man show tonight, is Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
It's been a busy day. I woke up ready to go to work and find out my building has lost power and there is no network or servers running. I got a text from my boss says, stay home.
Wow.
So I worked from home today.
Right on, dude. That is craziness. Of course, we're saying before, Justin's not here. Two-man show. I fumbled my way through that intro. He can have that job, dude. I'm not good at that at all.
Speaking of a partial power failure.
Exactly. Well played, sir. Well played.
Not often I get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
I took it.
You're usually on the butt end of that one. Yeah,
I am.
Right on, dude. Well, there is some stuff we have to talk about this week. It's yeah. Should we just jump straight into the news? I feel like, I don't know. Might as well get right into
it. Might as well.
Might as well do it right now. Maybe. All right. So, like we said, there's a few news stories this week. I don't know, this may be a little bit of a shorter show. I've always found that two-man shows end up, there's less craziness, but we can, you know what I actually thought of that maybe we can figure this out for a different time. Is there a way to have people call in? Do you think we could do that?
We should.
Do you think there's a way you can do that?
I've heard of other podcasts do multi-hour telethons, and it's all run in Skype. You just have one person in charge of getting people in and kicking them out when they're done.
Yeah, dude. So maybe we'll tell the live people. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I am putting my Skype handle in the chat. So at youtube.com/c/NintendoDads/live. That is my Skype chat information. If you call us when we say, not right now, don't do it right now. Whatever, do it right now. I don't care.
I think they have to give you their Skype handle, and then you have to bring them in. I don't think they
I think if they ring us, this is super inside baseball. If they ring us, then I may be able to add conference? Them to the call.
Okay, I've never tried that. Yeah, but I don't know. It might work.
Well, we'll try it. We'll wing it. If this doesn't work, well, Justin, this is what happens when you leave. This is what happens when you leave us. I hope you feel good about leaving us for a month. He'll be back next week, and then after that, he's gone for a month, right?
Yep.
Right on. Okay. Cool. So
episode 70 or so will be when he goes back.
Yeah. So what we have, maybe we'll do that a little bit later in the show. First off, first story that I have here is a sad story. And I don't know how I feel about this. So basically, there are rumors. This week, there were some rumors coming out about Star Fox Zero and how there are some concerns about Star Fox Zero. And there have been confirmations later that... Let me just read this. It said, you may have heard last week that a rumor was doing the round stating that the development of Star Fox Zero isn't going as well as Nintendo had hoped. This makes sense as the game was delayed from 2015 and pushed back till April this year, but the troubles with the game are apparently worse than previously thought, and it seems to revolve around the controls and the two-screen factor with the TV and the Wii U gamepad. Apparently there's like, there's serious issues with Star Fox. I don't know how true this is, but usually when this kind of thing doesn't come out unless it is, like, this doesn't seem like the kind of thing that people would fake. You know what I mean? It seems like if this is what would be the benefit of faking this? I don't know. Later on said, somebody else said, about those Star Fox rumors, I heard all the same disconcerting things about 2 weeks ago. This was from a guy named Dr_Cupcakes on Twitter.
Such a reliable sounding name.
Yeah, I know, right? I said, if Star Fox Zero doesn't pass QA, they can make a recommendation to NCL to delay it. They have about 2 weeks to get it ready for certification. So apparently there's issues going on, right? There's concerns, and I don't necessarily know. I don't know what. How do you feel, Jesse? Were you excited about this game?
No. I have a very short history with Star Fox. I think I played it for 10 minutes on the Super Nintendo and never touched it again.
Right.
It just never appealed to me.
Okay. Yeah, because it seemed like for the most part, there were people at E3, like, the big concern about this game was the motion controls, right? Like, and it was the motion controls and the fact that the graphics seemed a little bit lackluster. The most recent trailer quelled some of the graphical issues, you know, the concerns around that, but a lot of people really didn't like the controls. And I don't know, this has me a little bit worried. Like, I will definitely pick this game up regardless. But my concern with it is that let's go back to the Wii days, right? And how many games did they shoehorn in the waggle controls and, you know, the weird motion, right? That so much of that had happened.
And even Twilight Princess.
Yeah, was, right?
The launch game, and a lot of people didn't, and including me, not a fan of substituting a waggle for a substitution to a button press.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just wonder, or I worry that they're going to shoehorn this gamepad stuff in some sort of an effort to have people, you know, I don't know. It just bugs me. I don't want them to shoehorn it in. What I want is for them to just have the classic controls available, and that they're not necessary. If they're this big of a problem, that tells me that there's something about them that is necessary to gameplay, and they've invested in it too much and it's not working out.
Yeah, no, one of the things that they did talk about early on was the ability to fly in one direction and shoot in another. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that they've got levels built around just that.
Right, and if that mechanic doesn't necessarily work, they've got to do a whole lot more than just tweaking the controls in order to do that. They'd have to go back and design whole levels over again and whole encounters, and that is a big problem. So, I don't know. And I think this part of this too, like the two-screen experience, it works a lot better on the 3DS than I feel like it does on the Wii U, right? Because and we've talked about this before, the proximity or the distance between the two screens and the amount of effort it takes for your eyes to travel from the gamepad to the TV versus from the top screen to the bottom screen, you know, like it's the same, but it's not. And I wonder if that is something that they even thought of when they did that. I don't know. It has me a little bit worried, but we'll see. That comes out April 22nd, so they've got like a month.
We hope.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? At this point, who knows? It could be fall if this is the problem. Or at this point, either this rumor is not true, which seems, again, why would you release this rumor if it wasn't true? Either it's not true or it is true and they release it anyway. And we end up, my suspicion is it could be a similar situation to like Kid Icarus Uprising, right? Where it's like, controls kind of suck in this game, but other than that, I liked it. If it's a Kid Icarus situation, I think we'll deal with it in hopes of embracing a better game. Or they could delay it, which I don't see them doing, because then they have Pokken Tournament until what? You know what I mean? Like, there's only three
until Zelda
or or Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I don't want that to happen at all. Here. And we're back. Okay. So, yeah, so that's Star Fox. Not too excited about that. I'm going to bring somebody in here. See how this goes. Cool. Hello, Randon. What's going on? You're on Nintendo Dads.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Do you have a question for us? How are you doing tonight?
Good. I guess I just want to know how you guys started.
How we started? Just like the podcast?
Yeah, and how you guys met and stuff.
Sure. How long have you been a fan for?
A couple weeks.
Oh, right on. So yeah, Justin and I, both were in the same town, I guess, in the same city in Southern Alberta, Canada, a little city called Lethbridge. And, I can't even remember what it was. I think it was, we didn't know each other ahead of time. Like, we've had people say, oh, it sounds like you're like, you know, you've known each other forever, but I think probably we got to know each other on Twitter a couple of months before we started the show. We were both fans of Scott Johnson's The Morning Stream. And so we both listened to that and we kind of connected over Twitter. And then we started going to Tim Hortons together because that's what Canadians do, just to kind of connect. And we said, oh, you know, it'd be interesting to do a podcast together. And we talked about, you know, we had kind of had this instant sort of connection, like we both could talk and, you know, we both could talk. But yeah, we just ended up deciding on Nintendo and, you know, like video game stuff or dad's parenting stuff. And we said, oh, what if we did a gaming show about Nintendo? That'd be fun. But that felt really, what's the word? Like, just very, okay, well, there's already a million Nintendo shows out there, right? So we narrowed in on the parenting side of that. And then we thought, well, we got to make it a three-person thing. And I had done stuff with Jesse before. A while ago, I was also on a Nintendo show that I think the website still exists. It's kind of gone up and down. Infendo. Jesse, that's where you and I kind of met, right? You were a listener of Infendo Radio?
Yeah, I was a fan, and you were one of the hosts along with Alexis and Will.
Yeah, and Sean Buckley.
Yeah, Sean Buckley.
Does Sean still work for Engadget? I can't remember.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. So Sean Buckley, Alexis Santos, Will Thompson, and myself were in Fendo Radio. This was like, when was this? I remember doing a show when like Donkey Kong Country Returns was
2009, 2010?
Yeah, something like that.
In there.
Yeah.
Because I started writing for VG Tribune in late 2010 and early 2011, which is a website Alexis started. And then once I got going with that, then...
Yeah.
Alexis and I started up the podcast, and then I just took it over, and Zach co-hosted for me a number of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, we had, then so we, like, Jesse just seemed like a really natural third chair, and it was, yeah, I think it's, I don't know, it's interesting. So we kind of set in very early on to you know, it just settled into that right away. As soon as we came up with the name Nintendo Dads, it was like, okay, like, everything else kind of fell into place that way, so... I'm just curious, how did you find our show?
I believe it was through Game Explain.
Okay, sure. Like, yeah, we had him on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think they tweeted about it or something. I've watched him for about a year or so, and they must have mentioned you or retweeted you or something, and I was like, oh, another Nintendo show, that's cool, I can never get enough.
Yeah, right on. Well, we appreciate. Yeah, I know you're in the you're hanging out in the line chat, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's been a ton of fun. I like it, it's actually fun for me too because it's more. I don't know. It's interesting to have that. I feel like I'm more likely to check line than to even go on like Twitter and stuff like that. It's pretty cool to have that community. It's worked out really well. So thanks for your support in the show too, dude.
Yeah, no problem.
Right on. We've got somebody else. Do you have any other questions before we bring somebody else in here?
No, I believe that's it.
All right, dude. Well, thanks again. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Right on, dude. Hey, Look at this. We're like a freaking live show. That's awesome. Wow.
When is that?
Talk about just like a, oh, I wonder if we can do that. Sure, let's do it. All right. All right.
And then as a probably a good time to mention that due to the Patreon goals.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We'll be, you know, we'll actually have once a month something similar to this, and that's all we do is
yeah, this talk, is like to, a, talk to people. This is like more of an impromptu, like Justin's out of the house, where there's no rules. But yeah, as of we're kind of all over the place, but tonight, whatever. I don't care. We're gonna go that. Let's do another story. But yeah, not only did we hit our $75 a month mark, but we hit our $100 a month mark. Is that still true? Let me check to make sure.
Yes, it was when I checked this morning.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is still true. So it is, yeah. So not only did we hit our $75 a month mark, but we hit our $100 a month mark, which means we're just giving stuff away. We're going to have a monthly draw for, I think the $100 a month was the digital giveaway, right?
The
digital monthly giveaway. So what that probably is going to look like for February is, I guess it's going to be an eShop card. Probably that'll be given out around the same time as, you know, at the beginning of March, I would guess. But yeah, we're still ironing out the details. We didn't expect that to hit as quickly as it did, but you guys are awesome. So there is going to be some digital stuff, digital code giveaways. There'll be a draw every month as long as we're above that level. So right on.
I think it was the line chat when we started that really pushed it forward. A lot of people who only did $1 or $2 raised it to $5, which is the requirement to get the invite to line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's been really fun to just kind of chat with those guys, you know, throughout the day. It's pretty active. So
yeah, I'm actually surprised how active it is.
Mm-hmm. So next up, let's do another story and then we'll bring somebody else in here. How's that sound?
Sure.
So next up we have Kimishima saying that there are more unannounced 3DS games that are still coming to the system. So this is from, again, My Nintendo News. I think it's from somebody else. I don't know. I'm not a journalist. I don't cite sources. Nintendo President Tetsumi Kimishima has confirmed to investors that there are more high-profile unannounced titles in development for the Nintendo 3DS. With rumors that a portable NX system is launching this year, we weren't entirely sure what was happening with the Nintendo 3DS, but Kimishima has assured investors that they have more games that can't be announced just yet. So, Jesse, and I mean, we can even talk immediately about how Picross 3D 2 has been rated in, what is it, Germany? Something like that?
Yeah, it's, where to go? I lost it there. The USK rating system had a rating of 0, which means your 1-year-old can play it.
Right, which is, I mean, that makes sense for what it was. Good luck, kid. Here you go. It's interesting to see, you know, like, what games do you feel like would still, I think Rhythm Heaven is another one, right? Those are more games that are localized, though, and I feel like Kimishima wouldn't be talking about games that are localized. These are ones that even Japan doesn't know about. So what would that, what do you feel like that would be? Is that, like, what games do you feel are still coming that are not announced?
Well, I know that Ace Attorney 6 has been announced in Japan, just nowhere else yet. Maybe another Layton?
Would that be something that Nintendo is developing, though? Or that's like
no,
a level 5
No,
deal, right?
Those aren't Nintendo developed.
Yeah.
Those are level 5 in Capcom.
Yeah, like, I think maybe I don't know, it's interesting. Now, I've asked myself that question now, and I'm like, crap, I've just asked a question, I don't know. It would be interesting. I don't know if they want to do it on the 3DS, but it would be very interesting to see some sort of a port of Splatoon on the 3DS. I don't know. Like, they have done very online heavy games before on the 3DS. I'm thinking about like Monster Hunter, right? Where it's very online heavy. There is a single player component, but it's kind of designed to be played online. They could do that. It would be difficult, I think,
maybe something else with the Splatoon IP, but not necessarily the shooter, but mm-hmm. more of along the lines of, you know, like, we don't want to see another 2D platformer, but probably a 2D platformer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think the next Pokemon game is probably, I think they've got another Pokemon game in them. There's no way that they, the only way I can see them not doing that is because it's the 20th anniversary. I think that the mainline Pokemon game will be announced sometime after Pokken Tournament has been announced. Maybe even at E3. But
I know Roger put out a video with Gen 7 speculations. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, they released an image of a Gen 7 Pokemon or something like that. It would be interesting. I haven't watched this video yet either, but I think it would be, maybe, who knows, maybe they announce it on February 27th, right? On the 20th anniversary.
That would be appropriate.
It. Yeah, I can see them maybe doing that too.
Going back to the Splatoon idea, maybe along the lines of what the single player campaign was.
Mm-hmm.
Just more of that. People seem to.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I would love that.
That's probably very doable on a 3D.
Like a 3D world sort of, like maybe not isometric, but that same style, you know? I think you totally could do that.
Like a 3D land where it's still a 2.5D platformer.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a start and a stop and objectives to do along the way. But I think it's something that could be possible.
And I think, too, part of what they said in the investor call was that they want to try and convince 3DS owners to pick up a new 3DS. Maybe they could make it a 3DS exclusive, or I mean a new 3DS exclusive, or have exclusive features. Maybe that's something they could do. Maybe it's a Callie and Marie game. For the 3DS. That's where that weird Splatoon 3DS rumors or the new Amiibo rumors were coming in. I don't know. Now I'm just going crazy.
So we actually get to hear the story of Agents 1 and 2.
Oh, dude. Can you imagine? That'd be great.
Oh, spoiler alert, in case you haven't, no one's gotten that. Knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be super cool. That would be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Dude, I never realized how, like I knew that Splatoon was popular, but the fact that it has sold better than any Metroid game ever has.
That's
right?
True.
Right? Like,
I don't think they'll want to make it new 3DS exclusive, but definitely.
Maybe they pull a Hyrule Warriors, right?
Yeah.
Like, where it's not in 3D if you're not on the new 3DS.
New 3DS Enhanced, I think, is something they definitely can do.
Yeah.
Especially like use that second analog stick.
Yeah, use the Game Boy, the Game Boy Color model, right? Where it's like, you can play it on your old Game Boy, or you can play it on your Game Boy Color. Right?
And then, of course, you know, the Amiibo supports obviously better for the new 3DS, but they do have the little extra add-on you can buy for 20 some bucks, so you can use it for your old ones. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a pain.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be interesting. I also like to think. I don't know. I really, really. I broke out my Rhythm Heaven again this week, and it was. Just really fun, the original Rhythm Heaven for DS, and I really want them to bring that back. I think that'd be super fun. So we'll see how that goes. If they don't release that, I'll be kind of upset. So, and I still want my Super Smash Quest or whatever, like my RPG. But again, that might be more of a mobile thing. So, let us see. Do you want to very quickly talk about this game trailers thing? Jesse?
Might as well, since you already brought it up.
Yeah.
So I saw a tweet from the Game Trailers account saying that they were closing shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I never really watched the website much, but I did follow some of their podcast feeds, especially the actual video review channel that they had as a podcast feed. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of sad to see something that's been around for so long close up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'm looking. It's funny because I'm looking on their website and it doesn't say anything.
It doesn't, but it came across on the Twitter because the iOS Twitter app gives me alerts whenever there's a tweet that gets retweeted a lot by my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm not a follower of whatever they're tweeting from, So I'm like, okay, what's going on? Whoa, Dream Trailer is closing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super. That is just super weird to me that they closed. So, yeah.
So no. So that was like a big Jeff Keighley thing, right? That was him.
I don't know, dude.
I think that was Jeff Keighley.
People seem to be aware of of the fact that they shut down, but I don't know. I'm not big into it. So I was saying before the show, I watched their videos when I searched for video reviews, and that's about all I ever watched. But to them and all those who have lost jobs, of course, we're mindful of that, and that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, so that's Game Trailers is shutting down. Pour one out. I don't know. finally, I just wanted to have this up. I'm going to Google this a little bit more, but there's a bunch of Pokemon Go rumors floating around, and I think it's important to bring this up. I saw this big thing. There's this huge long article. I'll post a link in it in the show. Actually, I'll post it in the chat. Can I post it in the chat? Oh, message not sent. Nope, it won't let me. I'll post it in our Skype chat instead.
Okay.
But basically, it's
links.
Yeah, it's the Pokemon Go thing. So there's this big long article of like, there's all these different things going on, yada yada yada. This big long article, and then I want you to scroll all the way down to the very bottom, and it says update. The Pokemon Company have released a message in regards to the fake websites popping up all over the last few months, asking for details from its users along with their email addresses. Here's the translated version of the message they have posted. In regards to the beta test of Pokemon Go, no official announcements have been made. As soon as they are new information, it will be announced in the Pokemon Go official site. So in other words, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think we talked about the Pokemon Go beta. This is that if there is one out there, it's fake. So
I remember we Justin asked about it, and I gave me the link to the site, and I looked at it, and it all looked completely legit until it got to the contact information.
Yeah. You know,
it had a California snail mail address, but the phone number had an area code that started with a zero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that isn't legit.
Yeah, see, and there are some rumors that it's going to be released February 27th, which, again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but that's a rumor. I don't know. People are getting excited. I don't necessarily, just everybody needs to just calm down a little bit, I think, about this.
Yeah, some rumors are saying that the app will be ready to launch on February 27th. Others are saying that they plan on showing it at GDC before release, which that's not until March.
Yeah.
So that conflicts the previous rumor.
Yeah. I wonder if there's something's going on there. If my only thought about this that I really have as far as setting expectations is that there is no way that they launch this, that they want to let this game breathe when placed against Miitomo, right? Like, they don't want them to come out at the same time. They want them to come out separately. Even though it's Pokemon Company and Nintendo, like, you'd think there would be some sort of coordination between the two. I would hope.
I would hope as well.
And so, like, you don't want both of those launching at the same time, or it's just, like, you kind of lose the momentum. So I think either this comes out on February 27th, or it doesn't come out until April, right? Because another PSA is next Wednesday, a week from today, if you're watching live, on the 17th is the Nintendo account going live, as well as pre-registration for Miitomo. So we will be, by the time we record next episode, we will have Nintendo accounts, provided the website holds up. And then, so we will have Nintendo accounts. We will be pre-registered for Miitomo. And then Pokemon Go can be released for all I care. I don't care. I don't know if they're even going to be using a Nintendo account. My guess is probably not. They'll probably use your Pokemon account, your Pokemon.com account, which is what you use when I, you, Yeah.
I think I have one, but I don't know what it is anymore. It's been so long since I used it.
Yeah. I think the last time I used it was, you know, it, there are some ways, like if you play Pokemon X and Y or something, there's some way that it syncs to the cloud. I can't remember exactly what it was. And you earn points that you can then buy items in the game through the cloud or through the browser. I don't remember, but yeah, my guess is it'll use that.
That was a weird little system. I never fully understood it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Matthew Williams, from VGTribune.com is asking in the chat, I was going to comment, on the, is this the commercial? Yeah. He said, do you think the Super Bowl commercial indicated that something to that extent, or was it simply advocating for the 20th anniversary?
I think he was referring to the Pokemon Go rumors.
Oh yeah. I think there have been some who are like, who think that it's pointing towards Pokemon Go. I don't necessarily think so. I think they were just reminding people that Pokemon exists.
Yeah. It was like, hey, we're still a brand.
Right. And they did it in a way that's, it's in relation to Pokemon Go. The app, they didn't call it out in the thing. They were reminding people. It was like, Pokemon, 20 years, train on, right? Whatever, train on, you know.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, exactly. Hey, go tell your kids about Pokemon, right? Like, that's kind of what it is. And I mean, I think if anything, I was listening actually to, maybe we should try and get these guys on at some point. I was listening to It's Super Effective, which is a really great Pokemon podcast. It's been going forever. They've had like 200 episodes. One of the guys on there made the point that in making this commercial, this Super Bowl commercial, totally just, it's just about Pokemon, then it reminds people Pokemon exists, and then they can go to the channel of their, or the route of their choosing to figure out how they want to connect with the Pokemon brand. So for example, you know, some old school Gen 1 fan is like, oh man, the new remake or the re-releases for 3DS are coming out. That's awesome. I'm excited. You know, fighting game fans can go and Pokken tournament's coming out in like a month and be excited for that. And, you know, so they basically can connect however they want to. Fans of the trading card game can go and trading card game it up. I don't know.
I think in Japan, they're actually re-releasing the original set of Pokemon cards.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's super cool. Mm-hmm.
See, I used to play the card game a lot when on the base set and like the first two expansions, which is pretty much exactly what the content of the Pokemon Color game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The, once you had expansions beyond that, then I kind of, there's too many choices and too many ways to, I had a hard time building a strategy at that point.
I have some Pokemon cards in a box back here somewhere. I don't know. I should dig those out. That'd be fun. I bet you Nick would love that. Right on. Well, if there's anybody else on in the chat who wants to jump in and has any questions for us, you can either ask it in the chat or we're playing fast and loose tonight without Justin being here. So we're gonna, if you want to jump in, feel free. Otherwise, let's head into what we're playing, shall we? All right, Jesse, what have you been up to? What have you been playing this week?
I actually haven't had a lot of time to play, but one thing I did put maybe 20 minutes into was I downloaded the demo to Fire Emblem Awakenings and gave that a try.
Have you played it before?
I have not played the full game before, but when I downloaded it, it said, you have 28 plays left. I'm like, oh, I guess I must have downloaded this demo once before too. And so I played through the, I don't know if I played through the whole demo already or not, but as the story went on, I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember this. So yeah, apparently, so it wasn't enough. The demo wasn't enough to make me buy it the first time, and it wasn't enough to make me buy it the second time either. It just reminded me, yep, I don't like this type of battle system.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize it until just this past week. I played through the entire game in casual mode, not classic, right? Casual being if your guy dies, he's gone for the rest of the level, but other than that, he comes back, right? There's no permadeath. It's just you, the character's gone for the rest of the level. They've casualed it up even more in the next game. There's a mode called Phoenix Mode in Fates, where not only do your characters, like, if your characters die, they come back the next turn. So it's like,
wow,
like literally impossible. I think
it's like one hit point or something. Or?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like, it's interesting. Like, it is. Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's also, my guess is that if one of your main characters die, like if your avatar dies, right? Like if Corrin dies, then you still have to restart the level. But other than that, you are fine. Like, your guy died. Oh, well, he'll come back next turn. Don't worry about it. So, and I think like that is, for me, a step too far. I won't play it that way. I'll play it in, I play it in casual, not Phoenix mode. That's just shenanigans. But
one thing I did enjoy about the demo was the hand-drawn cutscenes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they did with that. That should be really fun.
You know, that's always been my favorite part of even, like, you know, as I said earlier, you know, Leighton and Phoenix Wright, whenever they have hand-drawn animations, those are always fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I like the fact that they do them in 3D, you know, like, I love that animated 3D look. The Fire Emblem games do it just about better than that. That game does it just about better than anything else. So that comes out, man, 8 days. Yeah, like a week from tomorrow, I'll be playing some Fire Emblem Fates. It's already downloaded somewhere. Where's my, oh, my 3DS is upstairs.
And we joked about it before when they announced Fates that they now have the ability to draw feet.
Yeah, right.
And I noticed it playing through the demo the second time that, yeah, these people just have stubs for legs.
It's so weird. It's such a weird creative choice.
Once you notice it, you can't unsee it, and it's like so awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, it is super weird. I'm not sure why they did that, but yeah, it's an interesting choice for sure. And so what is it about those games you don't like? You just don't like the turn-based nature of it? Like,
more of the grid system.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no problem with turn-based games like classic Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy, and more recently like Persona 3 and 4.
Yeah,
those I have no problem with.
It's the grid-based combat.
Yeah, and when I was replaying through Final Fantasy X, with the HD remakes, I got farther than I've ever gotten before playing that game. I think is near the end. I got to a boss battle where the game itself turns itself into kind of a pseudo grid, and I've got to move around the boss and attack from specific angles. I'm like, okay, this isn't fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pissing me off. And I still have not yet, out of four times trying to play Final Fantasy X, I've never beat it.
Brutal. Yeah, Final Fantasy X, I have that on Vita, I think, and I played about like 3 hours and was like, Final Fantasy games, I feel like I'm so excited every time I get into one, and then I'm just like, I hit a wall about 3 hours in where I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah. I've got so much longer in this game. There's so much buildup.
No idea if I actually kind of have low expectations for 15. I have a feeling I'm just not going to like it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm definitely going to try it anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, that's it's interesting. It's an interesting, I don't know, it'll be fun. I'm really excited for Fire Emblem though. I am ready, and I picked up, or I pre-downloaded Birthright, and that should be so. And I've kind of heard that is the one to jump into first. The reason being is that in Birthright there are additional missions, like in Awakening you would kind of have this overview map, which I think they might even have. Do they have that in the demo? Maybe? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe. Just an overworld with like all the levels connected on a map or something.
Like, right? you start in this city and your next mission is in this city.
Yeah.
You go
right
there and now chapter one.
Yeah. In Awakening, they would have different battles. They would have like roving, like bandits or whatever, and in between the missions you could go and just play those levels in order to level up your characters. Birthright has those same levels again, but Conquest does not. And so I'm like, phew, man, yeah, if I'm going to end up, if I'm only going to play one of them, I'm going to play Birthright. And then I'll probably play Conquest after that. I don't know. I'm not sure entirely what I'm going to do, but.
I realized another thing I don't like about that type of game. In those games, your strong people tend to be XP sponges, and it's really hard for your weak people to get the XP.
Yeah. And another problem with it too, that I like to pair my characters up, which is a mechanic. I don't know if it even really has it in the demo, but you can have two characters hold a single space on the board.
I don't think they go that far, but I did get to a point where if my two people were adjacent to each other, then they did give each other a boost in battle.
Right. And so you can do the same thing, but you can have them occupy a single space and move them together if you want to. The problem with doing that is that only one of them gets experience, unless for some reason the second character, it's like the chance of like a crit, right? Where the second character sometimes will also attack, but not all the time. If they do attack, then they'll get a little experience. If not, then whatever, right? So yeah, I think that's it's interesting for sure. I'm not entirely, I don't know. So you've been playing the Fire Emblem Awakenings demo. And anything else that you've been playing?
I think that's about it. And I haven't gotten a chance to get back to the Paper Jam.
Oh, right. You were pretty close to the end, weren't you?
Probably halfway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I bet I wasn't even halfway yet, the way those games go.
Oh, wow.
They're normally at least 40-hour games, and I was still under 20.
I did start, I did pick up the, I picked up Dream Team again, and been playing through that. I just finished, I don't know, there's like a sand waterfall, and you pick up a bunch of the stones, and then you go up the sand waterfall, and you find something, and I don't know. That game is fun, but, like, I enjoy it while I play it, but I never really feel the draw to go back to it. But I enjoy it while I'm playing it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with games. If I stop playing a game, it almost always means I never get back to it. And the longer it takes for me to get back to a game, I mean, the smaller and smaller chance. So I'm wanting to get back to it. I just haven't had the time.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. And at this point, I'm kind of recharging my batteries for Fire Emblem. So we'll see. Yeah, what else have I been playing this week? Now, last week, or a couple of weeks ago, I decided that I was going to I have the Pokemon Silver cartridge. It's the only old-school Pokemon game that I have. I have a counterfeit Pokemon Sapphire, and I have a Pokemon Leaf Green, which is the remake of Red and Blue.
I think I have a yellow somewhere.
On GBA. But I had a Silver cartridge, but the battery was dead. And so I ordered some batteries online, and I replaced the battery, and just today I started playing it again. And I don't know why I'm playing it, because the remakes are coming out for Red and Blue in a couple of weeks, but I actually am playing it on my Game Boy Color, and it's super fun. I just love Pokemon games. Like, there's just something about them, because of where I was in my life at that time. Like, I was in junior high, I was like in 7th grade or 8th grade or something when the original games came out, and it just feels so good to go back to those games all the time. And so it's a really, I've been playing that game. I played it on the bus this morning, and it's just fun. It's just like, it feels like going home when I play that game, when I play those games. So that honestly, I had like a bunch of assignments due this week, so I didn't get a bunch of time. The other one, this isn't Nintendo related, but it is a game that I've played a lot of this week since it came out. I'll see if I can get it to, get the sound maybe here. It is on my phone, it's on mobile. And for those of you who haven't been listeners for a long time, I'm a huge Marvel fan, and this is a game called Marvel Avengers Academy. It's basically Farmville with superheroes.
Oh boy.
It is essentially it's like a city building game, you know, like put the thing in and wait the 10 hours for it to do what you're supposed to do and all those sorts of things, right? But it is a college campus where Nick Fury is like the leader of the college campus, and you're building different buildings in order to like the dorm, or like you've got a bay for the Quinjet and SHIELD headquarters. And
is it MSU?
MCU? No, it's like they've totally redesigned all the characters. So when you look at Tony Stark, for example, he's got like this jacket.
No,
like
I mean the university itself.
It's Avengers Academy is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
And so like, but you look at like the thing I love about it, and it is at the core, it is a micro transaction-y buy your Smurf berries or whatever, right? Like that's what they want you to do. And I've actually paid a little bit of money to get Spider-Woman or whatever. It was not that expensive, and so I dropped a couple of bucks on that. But my favorite thing about it is the character designs that they've done. They basically eventually you level up your characters, and so they actually look like the characters. But when you first get them, so like when they're fully upgraded, they look like their characters. But for example, Iron Man, when you upgrade Iron Man, he starts out wearing just like this sort of cool guy jacket, and he's got the one Iron Man gauntlet, but he's just kind of like this guy who's tinkering with things. When you first get Loki, eventually he's like full blown Loki. But when he starts, he's got this weird like green blazer and is carrying this little staff around, and he looks like this weird preppy I don't know if preppy is the right
word. So you got punk versions of all these characters.
Exactly. Yeah, like if you actually Google Avengers Academy, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. As far as now, Avengers Academy was also a show, like a TV show, but if you look at like I'll just have link you to a thing here. There's a you'll kind of see the different character designs that I'm talking about. And they're like a bunch of teenagers. And so like, you know, like Hulk is like this jock. He's got like sweatpants on, you know, all that kind of thing. So Captain America is totally like a military, like a kid who's going to military school. Wasp is just like a fashionista, you know, all that kind of stuff. I really like it because it scratches my Marvel itch. I really like it for that. And I also, I really like the character designs, and it is just one more of those games that you can kind of check in, put your superheroes on new missions and stuff. And so if you're a Marvel fan like I am, then go check it out. Don't expect anything too crazy. The one thing that I am kind of impressed with is that when you finish story missions, they will actually give you sort of dialogue and cutscenes. And apparently the developers are really focused on bringing story into it. And so as you kind of just go through doing the missions and upgrading your guys and building more stuff, they actually do have more versions of different characters that are pretty, pretty cool. So, I mean, like, for example, I've got Enchantress, and she's basically, if you don't know who Enchantress is, she's kind of like a female Loki, sort of like, and she's basically like straight out of Mean Girls in this game. So I don't know. It's pretty fun. I like it. So, anyways, should we head into some listener mail? Should we do it?
Sure.
Let's do it. All right. So listener mail this week is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. Once again, we'll just let you guys know you've unlocked some good stuff. We can't do it without you. So if you want to support, even for like a buck a month, right? A buck a month is going to get you into the votes for the Retro Rewind, which is brought to you. You know, like we can't do that without you guys. It has now unlocked the monthly Google Hangout episode, which basically we're still figuring out the details there, but basically it'll be once a month. Anybody who's a patron will be allowed to join in, and kind of, you know, we'll kind of take questions one at a time or something like that, have some discussions. And
that'll likely be like third week of a month to alternate every other week with the Retro Rewind episode at the first week of the month.
Yeah, something like that. And then we, and we'll also release a recording of that too, right? Like we'll record it and release it. And yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. And also something really exciting that happened this week. If you go now to, like, I know for a long time, people have been saying, hey, when can I get some, when can I wear my Nintendo Dad's love and pride, for all to see, you know, when can I buy some merch? We are proud to say, We now have Nintendo Dad's merch that is available. So go to, what was the site again? tiny.cc/Nintendo Dad's store. And that will, or Nintendo Dad's shop, either one. All lowercase. That will take you over to our Redbubble store. Right now, we just have our cover. You know, we have a, it's a slightly altered version of our cover art with just me and Justin and Jesse in our sweet Carter Johnson art. You can get that on a shirt. You can get that on a mug. There are other things on Redbubble that we can create there, but we just kind of released a few things for now. You can buy a spiral notebook, which I thought was cool. I'm probably going to buy one of those. So head over there, tiny.cc/Nintendo Dad's store and check all that business out. And you're welcome. Well, welcome. There we go. I have a squeaky voice.
Right. Are you being pretending to be 13 again?
Oh, dude, it's just what happens when my voice is tired. I don't know. I got nothing. So we don't have a lot of email this week. We do have now. Was it last Sunday we released the Retro Rewind number 2, all about Wario Land 2? And we didn't have a whole lot to say about it. It was interesting because it was one of those games where I had heard a lot of great things about it. I felt like we enjoyed it. But Justin basically was like, yeah, you know what? We want to hear why other people suggested it. So we got actually an answer. One of the people who really suggested it was Eric Plunk on Twitter. And he said, why did I choose Wario Land 2, you ask? I didn't have a Game Boy growing up and remember thinking it looked pretty cool in game magazines after listening to a 2013 episode of Retronauts in which they sung the series praises. I was curious and downloaded it. I actually enjoyed it so far. I think it's a nice departure from the Mario series. I'll need to finish 2 and get to 3 and 4. So, and then he has a link to the Retronauts episode. So thank you, Eric. I think it is interesting, and it is, I don't know. In retrospect, I went back and listened to our episode 2, and I stand by what I said. I think it's fun. It's just, it is so clunky, dude. Like it just does not feel super great. I don't know. So
we do have some questions in the chat we can throw in here as well.
Yeah, let's go for it, dude.
All right. So Randon, who we just had on a little bit ago, says, what are our thoughts on a direct coming? We didn't get one in January. I think that a direct releasing on the 17th, and then after that, the pre-registration opens is likely. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good, because I mean, as much as they have told investors that the pre-registration is coming, right? But they didn't tell anybody else. I don't think they announced the registration or the Nintendo account creation page. They never announced that via Nintendo Direct in Japan, but Miitomo is different, right? Miitomo pre-registration, I think we may see, I don't know if it's a full video. I don't know. Again, I'm not convinced that full on Nintendo Directs are coming back. You know what I mean? Like they've said as much. They've said it might not happen. So I'm not sure, but.
And if it does happen, it'll be in a different format, whatever that means.
Right, which may be game trailers. You know what I mean? Like it might be something.
They'll push out audio only podcasts.
Yeah, right. They're going to hire the Nintendo Dads to do their PR for them as far as delivering that content.
That would so rock.
That would be amazing. I'd totally do it. Nintendo, as long as I can finish my program, as long as I can do that and also go to school, then I'm totally down. That'd be awesome. Let's do it. Make it happen.
Contact me. Contact so we can check that in person question answer in the question. Yeah. Survey.
You can contact my manager. His name is Justin Masson. yeah, right on. So yeah, absolutely, Randon. I think that that's very likely. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just didn't do anything, because that's how they roll too. Yeah.
Matthew Williams says, from VG Tribune, says, do you plan on getting the new special edition 3DS systems? I wonder if Missing No will be in the game.
Yeah, see, I actually, as far as the first question, no, because I have a 3DS and I can't get into the collecting of different systems thing right now. Maybe one day when I'm making money again. but as for the second question, as far as I wonder if Missing No will be in the game, I wonder how much, because they had to go in and they had to do some crazy code stuff in order to get the games to work with the trade and the battling, right? I wonder how much the original glitches in Red and Blue specifically are going to be there. Will I be able to clone Master Balls in this game? Because you could do that in the original Red and Blue. There was a very specific way to do it. Very specifically, I'm remembering you would fly to the town where the dude was that showed you how to catch Pokemon, and you would go through that process, and then you would surf, or then you would fly to Cinnabar Island and surf the eastern shore up and down until you ran into Pokemon, and eventually you would reach a glitched Pokemon, and then like the sixth item in your inventory would be multiplied by like 100 or something. Like, that was a legit thing. And there was, each game cartridge had a specific Pokemon that would show up as a level 100 Pokemon immediately. And I think it had to do with like what your trainer number was or something like that. But it was, I wonder if that's going to be something that you can do in this game. I think it'd be pretty cool if it was. But I don't know. I think
I'm sure we'll find out through the YouTube videos really quick.
Yeah. I'm going to wait to see if that's a possibility. If you can clone Master Balls in this game, you could also clone rare candy. You know, you could basically clone any item that you wanted in there. So I think it'll be cool to find out. I almost decided to play Pokemon Yellow instead of Blue, but I don't know, maybe I've never played Yellow. Have you ever played Yellow? Well, you own Yellow, you said, right?
Yeah, and I don't think the Yellow copy I have still has a working battery, but I played Red when that was the newest thing, and I did beat it. I did beat Blue and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I got Yellow when it was new, and I started it, and I don't think I got very far into it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to get Yellow at the end of the month, so I can kind of play through that again. Yeah. And get.
I think part of why I'm kind of not doing it or not wanting to is because specifically for the reason that it sold was because it's like, this is the anime version, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't want the anime version. I want the... So
if I can find my card, I can always slap it into my Retron and play it there. I don't have to worry about the battery, because that's basically an emulator.
Yeah, right.
It just rips the ROM off the cart first.
Oh, does it really? That's how that works? Oh, I didn't know that.
That's how it works.
And then it saves it on the... And then it saves it on the memory of the... Like, how does it... If you game save...
Yeah, there's onboard memory, I think 32 gigs. And so it'll rip the ROM off the cart into memory, and then play it in an emulator. Though you still have to have the cart in the system. So you still have the you can't just load up the system with a bunch of ROMs and choose it from a menu. It'll still only play the cartridge you have in.
Right. Matthew Williams, by the way, Matt, on you're talking about the truck near the SSN trick. I remember specifically in that game there was a thing where you could use strength. There was a rumor going around the playground that if you could use the strength to push that truck, then Mew would be underneath there. I always remember that, and that totally was not true. That's one of those fake rumors that happened. in the chat as well, Zach, have you ever played Marvel War of the Gems on SNES? No, I have not. I wish.
I don't think I've played that one either.
Yeah. Right on. Well, thank you everybody for all of your contributions to the show. I pushed that truck for so long. Yes, that's that's awesome. Yeah, seriously. So if you want to be a part of the show, of course, we
wait, stay tuned to the before end of the show. Before we wrap things up, I did actually have a legitimate Mew.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I think somewhere early 2000, because I lived in Kansas at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But they had like the first kind of like Pokemon convention, you mm-hmm. can say. You know, the Nintendo, you'd give your cart to a Nintendo rep who would put it in his machine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they'd give you a Mew, and then with it, you got a certificate of authenticity.
Dude.
So at one point, I had a legit Mew, and I'm sure it's long gone now.
Do you have the certificate still?
I don't.
That certificate could get you some scratch. That'd be cool. Right on. Well, I think that's about it. Let's talk about real quick about some of the other things going on for the next few weeks. Justin will be back next week, and then he's gone. He's gone for like a month. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, it's going to be crazy. We've got a lot of guests coming in. So next week we have Justin, and then on the 24th we've got Cass Lush from Gaming Docs. On March 2nd we've got Marty from Reactor Radio. And we're also that night going to be talking all about Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Love that name.
Craziness. That's available on Wii U Virtual Console right now. That is our March Retro Rewind. Also for the patrons, head over to Patreon if you have any suggestions for the April, I guess it's, you know, the next nomination is going on right now. So if you have a game that is not that you want to nominate for the next Retro Rewind, go ahead and nominate it. Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow are automatically nominated because we're excited for it and we can do that. But the voting ultimately will end up being up to the patrons, so we'll see how that goes. Marty from Reactor Radio again, Dave Moore from Character Crunch is going to be on March 9th, and then Josh Thomas and Rogers Base together, I think, on the 16th. But they both said they're going to do it, so
that's the rumor. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's over a month away, so we'll see. But and then Justin's back after that. Yeah, so that's what happens when the responsible one leaves the house, people. I don't know what to tell you. So of course, again, next week, Jesse, I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, but Justin sent us a really cool picture today in our private chat, just the three of us.
I saw that picture.
And he said he wanted us to hint about that exciting thing. So it has been done, Justin. It has been done. Right on. So Patreon update again as well. If you guys want to join and donate to the show, we've said that a couple of times already. Don't want to overdo it, but head over there at $150. We start giving away physical stuff now, which is awesome. I've actually considered doing like some one of a kind sketch cards or something and mailing them out to some of our higher patrons people too. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We're coming up with ideas, all sorts of stuff. So thanks again for listening, everyone. If you want to join us in the shenanigans, you want to interact with us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, you can do that at Nintendo Dads. Email us nintendodads@gmail.com. Head over to Twitch or YouTube and look for us, Nintendo Dads, over there. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some sweet Nintendo merchandise, go to tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore, all lowercase, and there's shirts and mugs and stickers, all sorts of good stuff over there. Big thanks to OC Remix throughout the show for our music, Carter Johnson for her amazing artwork. Check out her work over at megacarter.tumblr.com. And if you want to change the world, which I know you do, go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And for goodness sakes, change the world, why don't you? And you can subscribe over at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, the missing Justin, and for Jesse, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dad.